Once again, it's by God's grace that I stand before you today, and I'm just humbled by the many expressions of sympathy with the passing of my father, and for the expressions of love and through that time. Early this morning, helps me understand a little bit what Amy Trader is going through, in that she lost her mother suddenly this morning. So pray for Amy during this time and the Trader family as they go through that difficult time as well. But you folks are so loving, and I know that you will care for her as and the family as well through this time. You know, we go through the challenges and difficulties of this life and moments of anxiety, and sometimes we get overwhelmed with stressful events, and I swear that some of the most anxious moments that I've had in my life were when I was in college. And the first day of college, you get the syllabus from all the classes, and you find out and start reading through those syllabi, and you realize, oh my goodness, look at all this I have to do, and oh no, how in the world am I ever going to get all this done? And like for the next day or so, you're just like, oh man. And then about the third day of classes, it hits me, oh, it's not due tomorrow, I have the whole quarter to get it done. It's like, you know. So then I kind of relax a little bit. But we go through those anxious moments. It just seems monumental. We're talking about a monumental task before us today. And yet, Jesus is going to show us that it is doable. Our emphasis for 2023 is evangelism. I'm excited about it. I trust that you were able to see that last week. Again, it's a monumental task that Jesus has assigned to us, to the church. However, as we study this passage, take your Bibles, if you're not already there, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Familiar passage to many of you. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20. And I think we'll learn that Jesus made that which was monumental very simple. It's doable for all of us. Jesus, as we look at this passage, is leaving his disciples. But he's leaving them with some responsibility, and he's moving them on to greater responsibility. So we're going to learn from what Jesus assigned his disciples and what he has assigned to you and me. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." In this context, Jesus had been risen from the dead. Upon his resurrection, he had appeared to his disciples with convincing proofs that he was, in fact, alive. He had died, and he was, in fact, alive. And the reality of, and emphasized about upon them, the reality of his resurrection, and he began to instruct them. And he gives them these instructions as to what their next steps ought to be. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, we looked at this last week, verses 1 to 3, Dr. Luke was writing, and he said, "In the first book, writing to O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands." We're looking at some of his commands here today. He had given them commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. You know, as I think of those 40 days, I'm sure he said a lot of things, maybe reiterated some things and reminded them that he must go so that the Holy Spirit could come upon them and so on. But he gives them this instruction here. It's kind of like Jesus, when he talked about the the commandments of the Old Testament, right? He said, there's two that summarize it all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He took all of the Old Testament and he goes, right down to, you do these two things and you got it. That's what the Ten Commandments were all about. That's what the commands of the Old Testament were all about, loving God and loving people. Pretty simple. And as we look at this, it's just Jesus then takes the responsibility, all the responsibility that we have as a church, as believers, as his disciples, and he goes, here's what you need to do in verses 18 and 19 and 20. And that's what we have before. So here's a take-home thought here today, and that is Jesus lovingly gave the church direction. You know, if you're without direction, you flounder at best. And at worst, you end up in the wrong place. I had a friend of mine, we were out hunting, and we were turkey hunting. So sometimes you just go, oh, I'm going this way, you go that way. So we were down at Zaleski State Forest, and just a big hunting area, and got back to the truck about noon, and where's my friend? Started hollering, man, it was 45 minutes later, like, still, there's no friend, what's going on here? And so then started driving up and down the road, with the horn on the truck, and finally he emerges from the woods. He said, man, I got lost. I got turned around. He said, he had carried an arrow, and he put an arrow in the ground, and I just started walking, and he says, I knew I was lost when I found my arrow again, right? He's going around in circles, right? So when you don't have direction, you flounder, and I'm just so glad that Jesus gave you and me, gave the church direction here in this passage. And there's a lot of discussion in churches regarding upon what to focus. What should we be? Who should we be? What demographic should we target? Upon what areas should we focus our attention? And then how in the world do we do all of this? And there are lots of churches and lots of seminars about those kinds of questions. And those questions aren't all that bad. They're good to grapple with and think through. But isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he said, here's what I want you to do, he just boils it right down to these simple directions. And the text here directly, again, follows Jesus' resurrection, commonly called the Great Commission, and it gives specific direction, given personally to his closest followers, and then applies even to you and me. Verse 16 there. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They were to actively live out his instructions. It wasn't a passive expectation or just an attitude adjustment. So we're going to look at some features of Jesus' instruction here today. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. First feature I'd like to point out is his direction was specific. His direction was specific. His instructions were not mere suggestions. He prefaces his instructions by emphasizing his authority. All authority has been given unto me. How did the disciples respond? They worshiped, right? They recognized his authority, that his authority was divine, that Jesus was in fact God. In fact, his resurrection established that fact. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus, no doubt, in fact, was God, risen from the dead. And so he emphasizes his authority, makes it clear, all authority has been given unto me. Listen up. It would be like your boss saying, I want to make things clear to you. I am your boss, so you must do this project I'm entrusting to you to accomplish. It's not the idea of, oh, hey, well, I didn't sign up for this, or that's not in my job description. No. These are directions given to you by your holy God, your ultimate authority. The difference here is that a boss can be overbearing, right? Or unreasonable at times. And if you don't want to get fired or lose your job, you do what the boss says. Okay, I'll do what I'm told to do, right? But Jesus is your loving God. In his love. And I think part of why he gives you and me these instructions is because he wants you and me to have part in the blessing of seeing people come to him. He is going to build his church, but he has involved you and me in that process. That's what we have going here. And that's, again, that's exciting. So as we think of this being specific, this direction, these instructions are specific, we see that it was given by Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, his resurrection fresh on their minds. They worshiped him, one who has all authority granted by the Father. The direction was not only given by Jesus, but it was given to his disciples personally. Verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed him. As Christ followers, it's direction that's given to you and me. Again, how gracious, how loving that is, that he gave us direction. We don't have to try to sit here and try to figure out what is it we're supposed to do now as a church, right? And again, I'm not criticizing workshops. We're going to have a workshop coming up on evangelism in March, right? March 18th, mark it down. We're going to have a workshop on how to share the gospel. What is the gospel? How do we share that? But, we don't have to figure out what is it that we're supposed to do. He's given us this direction. I just impressed upon me how loving that was for Jesus to do that. It was given to his disciples personally. It wasn't just a memo that was passed on through an email. It wasn't just word of mouth that was passed down. We have it right here, right before us in his word. It's also not optional. It's not optional. You know, you hear me talk about exercise periodically, but exercise is optional. Right? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of how many of you exercise regularly. How many of you how many people exercise 30 minutes a day, get your heart rate up, you know? It's a good thing if you do that. There are benefits by doing that, but exercise is optional. You can choose not to do it, and you can, you know, I know people who've never exercised much at all their whole lives, and they live long lives, you know. how do they do it, you know? It's optional. It's a good thing, and there are benefits. But this isn't like that. I think that's something that we need to be reminded of here today. And I'm not asking for a raise of hands. But how many are actively involved in some sort of evangelism? Right? How many of us are, again, this is something that's not optional, something that we ought to do, but are we all involved in some way or another? And we'll get to what those ways may be in just a little bit. But are you involved in some sort of evangelism regularly? We need this, don't we? We need these reminders here. Because it was given to them personally, it was not an option. Even though it is beneficial. It's a benefit. I don't know about you, but when I share Christ with someone, especially when they come to Jesus, it's like, yes, praise God. And just, wow, God, you allowed me to be a part of that, to see this individual come to Jesus in salvation. There's a blessing there. There's also the blessing of knowing that you've done what God expects you to do. You know, just going back to exercise, you know, when I'm done exercising, it's like, whew, thank you, that's over. You know, I've done what I know that I should do for the day. Right? But when you share Christ in some way, some form or another, it's like, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that opportunity. And so, again, it's not optional. So it's very specific. But we also see that it is spelled out. Again, we don't have to wonder what this is all about. We don't have a big church members meeting to decide on whether we do this or how we're to do this. It's spelled out for us. Go, verse 19, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All disciples are to make disciples. You're a part of that. If you know Jesus, you're a part of that. And I hope you get excited about that as a result of our time together here. The mandate involves while you are going. The tense of this main verb, the main verb here is make disciples. The tense is while you are going. While you are going, while you live your life, disciple making is an ongoing, is to be an ongoing feature of your relationship with God. It just, and I just want to encourage you today. You know, if we said, okay, in order to accomplish this, what we're going to do is we're all going to gather out in the parking lot, we're going to get in our cars, and we're going to go to the green. And everybody's going to, you're going to carry your Bibles, and you're going to walk up to people and say, do you know my Jesus? I mean, it might thin out the crowd pretty fast, right? That would be difficult to do. I want to encourage you, and I'm not saying that would be wrong to do. We're not going to do that this morning. But I just want to encourage you. I think the most effective means of evangelism is through building relationships, establishing relationships, and just living out the gospel, showing others around you that Jesus makes the difference. I heard this just this week. One of our ladies, and I don't know how long ago this was, but one of our ladies gave testimony that they were working with a co-workers, and something happened. Don't know what that was. And one of our ladies said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's pray about that. Do you mind if I pray about that? And she prayed. And it's obvious that that's something that one of our ladies would do, is pray. And then to pray with this individual, or at least express a willingness to pray. And the lady with whom she was talking says, you know what, I need to talk to you about these things. I got questions. I need to talk to you. I don't know what all came about from that. But that's what we're kind of talking about. It's just, you just live your life. And show others that Jesus has made a difference for you. You may not be comfortable saying, hey, can I pray with you about that? But you may be comfortable saying, I will pray about that. And you may not bow right there and have prayer. But I'm just saying that you show that Jesus makes a difference. So it's while you are going. Just be real. Be who you are in Christ. You don't have to be churchy. You don't have to speak Christianese, right? But you just live out the gospel. You live real. You be real. And another, this mandate also involves reproducing discipleship. The directive is disciples making disciples who make disciples. In order for this to happen, it was the disciples need to say, okay, this is what we are to do, so we are going to go about this, and we're going to then, when people come to Jesus, they're going to hear the same mandate. They're going to hear the same directions that they need to go out and do the same thing. I haven't multiplied it all out recently, but You know, you may think of an evangelist like Billy Graham, like, oh man, you know, he preached to hundreds of thousands of people throughout his life. But if you multiply it out, one person reaching another person, and you do that twice a year, and those two people reach two people twice a year, and then those two people, the entire world would be evangelized in an unbelievably short period of time. If we all just take our responsibility seriously. I just want to encourage you, just to reach out. Pastor Nate talked about the invitations. You have those little papers in front of you. Just jot down how many people you invited to church this week. If you did have a gospel conversation, and by the way, some people got their phones out and they marked it down, and we had three people say they invited someone, and there was one gospel conversation. Isn't that great? Now, I would think that there are some of you who are waiting till this morning to record that, all right? And we're looking forward. We'll report on that next week. Someone told me they invited at least 15 people to church this week. Isn't that awesome? That is something that we can all do. That's a part of evangelism. It's disciples making disciples. It may seem overwhelming, but we can all have a part in some aspect of that. The mandate involves the inclusion of all. Go there, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All ethnic groups is what that means. We don't discriminate. Our target group here at First Baptist Church is Troy, Piqua, Tip City, Covington, Pleasant Hill, Casstown, Ludlow Falls, wherever you are, that's where we start, right? That's our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, right? It's wherever you are, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, wherever you are, that's where we start. That's our target group. All disciples are to make disciples from all nations. We don't discriminate. Now, how do you practice that? Well, you go to the people around you, but even on Sunday mornings. I've told you this last week and encouraged you, you know, don't just talk to the people you know and know well. Keep your eyes open. Hey, I haven't met that individual over there or that individual. And if they say, oh, I've been going here for 20 years, say, oh, well, you know, my bad, you know, and just introduce yourself. But a lot of times it's a new individual and you reach out, you encourage them, thank them for coming. Tell them, introduce yourself, tell them your name, ask a few questions. But if they're a little bit different, that's okay. Because not only does Jesus love them, but we ought to love them as well, right? It's the inclusion of all. Love on people. Show them that you care. Show them that we care. That's how they know that we are caring church, is by you reaching out as well. Another feature, you look at the title of this message, The Monumental Made Simple. The final feature I want to talk about here today is it's just simple. It's not complicated. Jesus here gives direction on the process of discipleship. Go, verse 19, go therefore. The therefore is, he has all authority. Because he has all authority, he's given this direction. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. While you go about living your life, making disciples, here's how you do it. This involves, first of all, submission. Submission on your part. Are you willing? Are you willing to commit yourself to being an instrument in God's hands, to be used of him, to reach people for Jesus, for him? Take initiative. Again, it's an imperative. It's an imperative that has ongoing results. You are to obey this not just once, but continually. It involves submission. God, I'm willing. I hope that is your heart here today. That we would all just be willing instruments in God's hands. Just say, God, I don't know how you're going to use me. I'm not used to this. I get nervous when I even think about it. But however that looks, God, I'm willing to be used of you. It also involves assimilation. How do we do this? By baptizing, immersing them into the body. When people come to know Jesus, we baptize subsequent to their salvation. We assimilate them, bring them into the church through baptism. The baptism declares the what and the who of the gospel. The what of the gospel is based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what he did to provide salvation for those who would believe. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, we invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior. There is no other way of salvation but through Christ. And if you don't understand that, we want to talk to you about that. But baptism then is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And so it's the what of the God. That's what the what is, but it's the who. Those who go through baptism are saying, I am willing to be a part of this church. So that's the what and the who of the gospel. We assimilate them into our fellowship. Then there's identification. Baptism is a testimony. Baptism, when someone, we had this last week, we had a couple individuals get baptized last week. What they were doing is they were saying, I want everybody to know that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. They identify with Christ in what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. And they were buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Raised as a symbol unto new life, right? And so there's the identification. And I'll tell you what is so exciting is that these individuals invited other people to come and observe their baptism. That's what it's all about. The baptisms are public. And because they want other people to know. And other people heard about salvation through those testimonies last week. That was exciting, wasn't it? So there's identification. There's also education. Teaching them. That involves the observation. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to do. Teaching obedience to what God would have them to do. We don't earn salvation. But because of our salvation, we live out the gospel faithfully. We're doing that through our care and discipleship class. We're teaching how to live. Those who are in the class are taking that and applying it to their own lives, and then with the desire to share that with others. That's the ripple effect of discipleship, is education, teaching them to observe. And then there's cooperation. He says, and behold, I am with you. We don't do this alone. God is with us through it. So be encouraged. And you know what? He's with you, not just by standing by your side with his hands in his pocket. It's more like a parent helping the child down the slide. I don't know about you, but man, that when the child like, I want to go down the slide, Daddy. He's just like, okay, you know. They always pick the tallest, you know, they want to go down the biggest slide, right? You know, it's like, okay, I'm right here, and you reach up and you take their hand, and it's like, okay, here we go, woo, you know, and they take down, yay, good job, right? With the child the whole time, right? That's what, when Jesus says, and I am with you always, he's not just standing there as a bystander, watching what you're doing. He's there involved in what you're doing. And in that sense, you couldn't do what you're doing without him being there, right? So he's there with you through it all. So when a friend says, "What makes you so different?" and you swallow hard. I'm not sure what to say. He's there with you. And rather than just say, well, I just try to live a good life, you tell him, you know what? Jesus has made the difference in my life. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he did for me. He died on the cross for me. He was buried and he rose again to save me from my sin. I'm a sinner. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what I did is I repented of my sin and I asked him to forgive me of my sin. And I turned to him and in his great salvation asked him to come into my life to save me. That's what's made the difference in my life. And I invite you to do the same. And you may have opportunity to tell them more about that. It's that simple. It's simple. There's that cooperation. But then there's the perpetuation. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That gives indication that this doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And he's with you through it all and throughout all time. He will never leave you. You see, the Great Commission is accomplished by actively showing Jesus as indispensable through discipleship. The Great Commission is accomplished by actively showing Jesus as indispensable through discipleship. To those around us, to our community, and beyond. It's not something we just talk about, or we have a bunch of meetings about, but we get involved personally and corporately. We do this in and through our church and ministry. We commit to obedience, and as a church, we become the obedient church. And again, I encourage you to reach out, as we've said, invite. You know that when people come to FBC, they're going to hear the gospel. This morning, people have heard the gospel in a nutshell. Didn't elaborate, maybe raised some questions about what all's involved in that, but people have heard the gospel. But as you come, and as you invite, you're involved in evangelism even here. I encourage you to move up and move in. Thank you, youth, for sitting on the front row. That's an effort so that if someone comes in late, there are chairs available so that they can have a place to sit. Again, last week we were busting at the seams, right? We had someone leave because they couldn't find a seat to sit with the family. So do what you can do. You know what? That's a measure of evangelism. Don't just leave it there. But last week we talked about comfort-based commitment against calling-based commitment, right? It's not, you know, if you're not used to sitting on the front row, it might be a little uncomfortable, you know. You might get spit on a time or two, I don't know, but, you know, it's not about our comforts. We want other people to come and be welcomed in our fellowship, not to be turned away. So we have a calling-based commitment. I go to church not only, I don't go to church just to see what I can get out of it, but how I can minister to the body, right? That's the calling-based commitment. Even as you attend, it's not about what we get, although I hope you get something out of it, but it's how can you then serve and minister to others? So the moving up and moving in is helpful to that end. And then just the as I've already mentioned, the greeting, the reaching out, finding that individual that's standing there all by themselves or sitting by themselves and say, you know what, hey, I'll sit with you or introduce yourself and befriend that individual. And you're conscious, you're soul conscious on and off the church property, right? It's not just go out there and do that, but it amazes me that here at FBC, we have guests just about every Sunday. And I would just love for us to be more like Velcro than Teflon, right? So that people stick. So that when they see us, they say, you know what? Those people love God and they love people. I want to be a part of that group. As opposed to sliding right on through. Right? I want to be a part of that group because they love God and they love people. And then as you get involved in and through the ministry, to think of whatever your ministry is here, whether you're involved with our children and youth programs, whether you're involved on a major ministry team, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an usher or greeter, you help with hospitality, whatever your ministry may be, think about souls. That's what we need to be about as a church, is we need to be disciples making disciples. And Jesus just brought it all right down to these simple instructions that he's given to us here. And as I said, we're just coming back to the fundamentals. If this is your first Sunday with us and you've gone to other churches, you say, well, it sounds like they're just starting. You know, as you think about it, we said last week, you know, let's come back to focusing on Christ and the gospel. And in order to do that, we need to ask for his help. So let's do that just now. Heavenly Father, it's our desire to be faithful. It's our desire to be effective in evangelism and discipleship. And I'm just so thankful for these simple instructions that are very specific. It's spelled out. It's simple. May we take these truths to heart and do our part to show Christ and to share Christ to people all around us who are lost and dying, to impress upon our hearts that if people do not surrender to Jesus, they will spend eternity separated from you in a literal eternal hell when they could have Jesus and spend eternity with you. So I pray that our hearts would be